I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. This is the place from 9 to 11 o'clock each weekday. You will get the stories behind the stories, big one of those today, the truth behind the headlines, the lying mainstream media, and the ridiculous two-party propaganda, which is as bad as it's ever been. This is Central Mississippi's safe space here for independent thinkers out there, beholden to no party, beholden to no politician, calling it like we see it every single day. Today's Wednesday. Speaking of calling it as I see it, the healthcare system in the United States is an absolute train wreck. Americans' health is constantly declining. In this shining city on the hill, for some reason, we can't seem to nail down health here in this country. And so we give you a little ray of hope from 10 to 11 o'clock every Wednesday. I break from politics and current events, and we take a look at natural health news you can use in a segment called Hump Day Health. And today we will have Jordan Townsend in from Naturally You there in Ridgeland. He is our resident nutritionist, and we've got a lot to talk about today. One thing I want to talk about to him, I mentioned yesterday, I want to talk about the Impossible Burger. There's a lot of these meat substitutes coming out. They're really perfecting the taste and texture of these things. But does that make it a real healthy alternative for people? I have my doubts. We'll talk about that and other stuff. Jordan had several topics he wanted to get into today. So we will do that next hour with Jordan Townsend from Naturally You in Ridgeland. Now, I guess I'll give it this first segment. Yesterday, the news broke that Ross Perot had died. And for a radio show that is 5 days a week about kind of blowing up this two-party monopoly system that we've got, calling out the ridiculousness of it, the propaganda of both sides, the hyper-partisan nature of the society that we live in, it would be remiss to not recognize Ross Perot's passing, because Ross Perot was the closest we've come in quite some time to interjecting a third voice into debates or into elections. Now, what's genius by the major two political parties is when a third-party challenger, and I'm going to play some clips from Ross Perot in just a second, when a challenger actually makes a dent because maybe they make some sense, then the two parties jump on that and say, you can't support a third party. It'll throw a monkey wrench in things, and it will hand the election to somebody else. See, if a more conservative person than a Republican came out, most people might consider voting for him, but you're trapped. The Republican Party will tell you, no, you can't vote for that because there's no way they can win, and all you're doing is siphoning votes away from Republicans, and so we're stuck. We are stuck with this two-party system. And when we get to it in just a second here, I want you to listen to some of Ross Perot's the words that he spoke in 1992. And I ask, has anything changed since then? Absolutely not. We've tried it both ways. Bill Clinton won this election. That's right, Mike. Bill Clinton won because Ross Perot took votes away from George H.W. Bush and got us that degenerate Clinton. Well, we tried it with the Clintons, and then we tried it with the Bushes, and then we tried it with the Obamas, and now we're doing something with Donald Trump. Trump still is an unknown, but if you look at the Democrat, Republican, Democrat, the, what is that, 24 years between, and the varying degrees of who controlled the House and who controlled the Senate, and when you listen to Ross Perot pointing out some very common sense problems that we had back in 1992, you realize we've gotten absolutely nowhere on these issues. They've actually gotten worse. There are eight combinations between Republicans and Democrats when it comes to the presidency, the House, and the Senate. We've tried them all and hadn't made a lick of progress on any of the things that Ross Perot is going to talk about. Now, I was going to spend a little bit more time on him, and really just for pointing out the, well, I think I'll make my point probably in this first segment, but I'll tell you what, the Epstein stuff is just moving along. And I started doing some research last night, and I got to tell you, folks, we got a problem. And it's not just about the perverts. It's not about the depravity at the highest levels of the elite. It's about what potentially is actually going on behind the scenes there. So we're going to spend some time in the Epstein stuff here, because I was talking about it long before this last week. I've been calling out Alexander Acosta long before this week, long before the media and the Democrats jumped onto it. Now, a lot of the more simple-minded people will listen to that and go, he's just carrying water for the Democrats. What is this guy, some kind of a liberal? Why is he going after Alexander Acosta? I do that because he was complicit in the cover-up of a huge child trafficking pedophile ring. And I'm watching Trump supporters right now carry water for the labor secretary? It's important to you who the secretary of labor is? Can you tell me who the labor secretary was before Alexander Acosta? Or the one before that, or the one before that, or the one before that. Suddenly, everybody's really defensive about the labor secretary. We're really concerned. Oh, don't make our labor secretary step down. The cult of personality of Trump means you can hold nobody even within Trump's orbit accountable for anything, because it might slightly tarnish Donald Trump. So I'm watching people carry water for the labor secretary. Anyway, we're certainly going to get to that. Here are a couple of clips from Ross Perot. And I just bring these up really just to at least pay attention to a guy who tried to upset the apple cart a little bit long before Donald Trump came on the scene. This is Ross Perot. And let me get to this story real quick, too. I'll put this in context first. There's a story from our friends at CNS News, the only people who ever cover the spending issues to any great degree. They have a piece out today. For the first time in our nation's history, there is now a, not a bunch, I'm not talking about the whole federal government, there is now a single federal department spending an average of more than $100 billion per month. No, it's not the Department of Defense, which is charged with the core federal responsibility of defending us from foreign enemies. Well, that is their responsibility. Unfortunately, they're used for different purposes, but I digress. It is the Department of Health and Human Services. As it now stands, HHS runs Medicare for many and Medicaid for more. In 2019, the program will cover an estimated 61 million persons, 52 million aged, and 9 million disabled. Now let's get down to the spending numbers. CBO also estimates that federal Medicare spending after deduction of beneficiary premiums and other offsetting receipts will be about $637 billion in 2019. Between Medicare and Medicaid that account for 86% of HHS spending, in the first 8 months of this fiscal year, which began in October, HHS spent $834,346,000,000. That's within 8 months. Up from the $731 billion they spent last year. Now, let's get down to the numbers here. I just thought it was interesting. It equals about $4.9 billion per day, $196.98 million per hour, or $3.28 million per minute is what Health and Human Services is spending. And for all of us out there who are shaking our fist and saying, stop the socialist, I hate to tell you, it's already here. The socialism's already here, and it's already cratering our economy, our financial health. This is Ross Perot echoing a Mike Madison talking point.
I believe that there is so much waste around here. And again, every time you get into, see, I'm the only guy that talks numbers. Mm-hmm. I love this. Nobody else will even talk about it. I've said it's like a crazy aunt in the basement. Everybody knows she's there, but nobody talks about her. I'm talking about it. Then I can talk, you know, with endless numbers about it. And then when I finish, typically the establishment press said, he didn't tell us enough. I just break up. Nobody else said anything, and I hadn't said enough. Let me just...
And I bring up the point that in the last two election cycles, between the 2016 presidential election, the 2018 midterms, debt was barely discussed. Spending was barely discussed. Waste, fraud, and abuse, not even really got a mention.
Talk in general terms today, since no matter how many numbers I give the press right now, it doesn't satisfy them. Number one, we cannot spend our children's money. We are looking on the edge of a revolution of young people who are starting to realize that we, our generation, have put them $4 trillion in debt, and they don't like it, and they shouldn't.
How quaint. Oh, Ross. $4 trillion in debt. This was back in 1992 when he was in the presidential race. $4 trillion. He thought we were on the cusp of a revolution of young people that were finally catching on. Well, they're catching on, but the problem is, see, half of them are in the Democratic Party, so they thought Obama would take care of it all. And half of them are in the Republican Party. They think Donald Trump will take care of it all, that George Bush would take care of it all. And the ones before that, they thought Bill Clinton would take care of it all. See, there's no revolution when you've got the two parties that are kind of equal there, just butting heads and stopping any consensus on something as elementary as spending other generations' money. He thought $4 trillion in debt was going to wake up the American people. He had no idea of the deep slumber that Americans are in. We're now at $22 trillion with $100 trillion plus in unfunded liabilities.
Don't we love our children as much as our parents loved us?
Apparently
sure
not.
We do. We cannot spend their money. Now then, that's the easy decision. The hard decision is, how do you fix it? You've got to have, instead of a deteriorating job base in the economy, which is what the last 12 years have given us, we've got to have, first, you've got to stop the decline, stabilize it, turn it into a growing job base, growing industrial base. The only way to do that is to make the finest products in the world. Now, that's something I know a lot about. We've got to put everybody that's breathing back to work in a good, solid job. Then you've got a growing tax base. But in the meantime, you've got to have a real grab and run that stops the deficit spending, so you don't lose any more financial blood. Then with a growing tax base, you pay off $4 trillion, and we leave the American dream to our children, which we all wanted.
1992, we had a chance with Ross Perot. Now, who knows what would have happened had he been elected? There were just a couple of other quick clips I'm going to go ahead and play. This one's kind of funny because this was a good illustration of the two-party system. See, what's beautiful about the two-party system, if you're in it, is that when you promise your constituents that you will do something, when you fail to do it, or a lot of times you never really intended to do it anyway, but you're never held to account because you just blame the other party. It's the greatest con ever.
The dollar's gone through the floor. Now, whose fault is that? Not the Democrats, not the Republicans. Somewhere out there, there's an extraterrestrial that's doing this to us, I guess. And everybody says they take responsibility. Somebody somewhere has to take responsibility for this. Now, just for the record, I don't have any spin doctors. I don't have any speech writers. Probably shows. I make those charts you see on television even. That shows. Now.
So there he talks about, it's nobody's fault. You know, the interesting thing is he's talking back then in 1992 about the dollar falling through the floor. What we have right now is a headline today that Jerome Powell at the Federal Reserve is going to cut interest rates because they see worrying signs in the economy, which is confusing to me because I thought we were living in the greatest economy that the world has ever witnessed. And yet, for some reason, we need to cut interest rates because the economy is so fragile. That has caused the dollar to dive today. It's caused the stock market to go up. People now are cheering for the dollar to dive. They're cheering. Trump needs to get his interest rate cuts. It's not fair. Obama had zero rates. Trump needs to have zero rates. Who cares if it ends up making huge amounts of inflation for all of us everyday Americans out here? At least President Trump will get a victory, and this bubble will keep going and won't implode on his first term. People are cheering now on the conservative side of things. Now, when I think of conservative, I think of like savers and responsibility and things like that. That was always my impression of the conservative voter, was that they were for, you know, individuals and being pragmatic and being prudent and things like that. But no, not anymore. No. Now we are for massive deficits, massive spending, massive bubbles, and we want to see interest rates go back to zero so that we can be more indebted and savers can take it on the chin to get a political victory. It's just a shame. 1992, Ross Perot made some good points. And many of the points that he made then, Trump made again in 2016, and Trump was actually victorious because he was one of the two major parties. Ross Perot, we can't spend our children's money. What a quaint, quaint idea from back in the 1990s.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No bad. No wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I bailed you out when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, I probably won't get back to Ross Perot this week. There's so much going on, and I want to get into this Jeffrey Epstein. Ann Coulter did an interview, a radio interview, and I wanted to highlight a couple of parts about that, and it kind of sent me into a little bit of investigation mode myself and found some very interesting things about the Jeffrey Epstein case that I think people need to consider. So we'll talk about that in a second, but there were a couple more things about Ross Perot. There was a Bloomberg article yesterday that just, you know, this is, I don't know, Ross Perot hit on a few themes of this show. This is from a writer, Stephen Carter at Bloomberg. He said, here's my favorite memory of Ross Perot during the 1992 run for the White House. He kept pointing out that the Capitol Hill was the only workplace in America where the employees could park their cars, but the owners couldn't. Quote, we're the owners of this country, Perot declared. We don't act like the owners. Amen, brother. That's exactly what it is. We have decided to enact a royal class that lords above us that is worthy of selfies and adulation instead of actually employees. But I wanted to point out a couple of things that he did. It was interesting, a couple of things about Ross Perot that I didn't know. Perot made a virtue of wealth, and long before his presidential runs was somehow always in the news. This is a guy who in 1969 flew to Moscow to try to persuade Soviet authorities to let him add Christmas gifts for American prisoners of war to their next supply plane to North Vietnam. He paid for security for two narcotics agents targeted by drug traffickers. He bought horses for New York City's mounted police. In 1973, he paid for a weekend extravaganza, including a ticker tape parade for U.S. troops who had been imprisoned in North Vietnam's notorious Son Tay prison camp, and for the Green Berets whose rescue mission went awry when the prisoners turned out to have been moved elsewhere. And this was about Ross Perot. And there were other things, too, that made him seem like he's a genuinely decent guy. The question is, after making such a big splash in the 1992 election, where did he go? And there's a lot of there's speculation out there where they realized that the guy had actually garnered the attention of the American people, and the two-party system essentially told him to sit down and shut up if he didn't want trouble. And that may be what he did, as he just sailed into the sunset without ever making another peep. It's a shame. We had an opportunity, but you know, we've had these opportunities in Mississippi here. American people want to be sold something. They want to be part of a tribe. They want to feel loved by their parties, and their parties say all the right things to them. They tell them that no one else will ever love you like I love you, baby. You're ugly and stupid and helpless. You got to stay with us. We'll take care of you. We'll fix everything. Just sit down. Shut up. We'll take care of it from here. And that's where we found ourselves till now. When I come back, I want to get into this Ann Coulter stuff, because she said something out loud that I thought, this is something I've been wondering about for a while. And then I started doing some investigation in this Jeffrey Epstein thing, and there's something people should probably think about. The problem is that if this theory is correct, we'll never, ever, ever know.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
We are back next hour. Jordan Townsend from Naturally You will be in. We'll take a break from current events and the nastiness of this Epstein stuff and recharge our soul, empower ourselves to take control of our own health. It's just a great segment. It's a good palate cleanser, too, and I really need it. I'm telling you, every time I do this Jeffrey Epstein stuff, I feel like I need a shower when I'm discussing exactly what's been going on here. But I think it's actually worse, if it's possible. I think it's worse than we've been led to believe. I'm going to cover some of that stuff. I am fighting the battle here to stop this insanity of viewing the Epstein stuff through partisan lenses. And I'm going to be one of the few to talk about it this way, because everything I hear on conservative radio, conservative commentators, Fox News is really talking about the ties of Epstein and the Clintons and the Democrats. And yes, those are definitely there. And yes, the Clintons seem to be up in their necks in this thing. Absolutely. But then I'm watching the people. Kerry Waterford, Alexander Acosta. Oh, they're just trying to get Trump, and they're just doing this, and they're doing that. You know what? The media is actually right about this. The Democrats are right. Alexander Acosta, why are you concerned with who the labor secretary is? Somehow you're personally invested in who the labor secretary is? Now, Alexander Acosta, he got pressure from above. Okay, that's fine. You know, there are jobs out there where people have to make some compromises. I imagine sometimes people have to sell cars, and maybe they try to put the undercoating on there to get a bonus, or because their boss is pressuring them to make a couple of $100 more for the dealership off of each sale. No offense to car dealers. I'm just using that as an example. I don't know what goes on in car sales. But there's all kinds of ways sometimes we get pressure from our bosses to do this or do that. Alexander Acosta got pressure to cover up a massive human trafficking pedophile ring, so he gets a pass, right? Oh, he was just doing what he was told. He deserves to be elevated to one of the highest levels in the land, to the cabinet of the United States. He was just doing what he was told, Mike. I don't know about you, but somebody comes to me at any level and says, yeah, we're going to need you to help us cover up this major pedophile ring that has abused 12-year-old girls internationally. You know what I tell you? No. I say no. Find somebody else to do it. If I need to be fired, that's fine. Whatever you got to do, no. I don't sweep a human trafficking pedophile ring under the rug for anybody, because I'm a human being and I think these girls deserve some justice. Alexander Acosta was also part of the idea that he did this meeting and had the private meeting, breakfast meeting, with one of Epstein's attorneys, where they decided, yeah, we're going to go ahead and do this non-prosecution agreement. We're going to go ahead and seal all the records, and we're not going to let the victims know that we're doing this. The victims had no idea this deal, which was a breach of either protocol or law. I'm not exactly sure which. Yet I am watching people say, oh, they need to leave Alexander Acosta alone. They're just doing this to hurt Trump. Of course, the media thinks they'll score a little point, but so what? It's sickening to me. Young girls sexually abused, but we don't want to see a dent in anything that has Trump's name on it, and I don't even think it should affect Trump. What difference does it make? It's changing the guard at the Labor Department, for God's sakes. I think people should be ashamed of themselves for viewing this through partisan lenses and trying to defend a labor secretary. I don't care if he was pressured. I do not care. I don't think you could pressure me. Well, maybe they were going to kill his kids. I don't know. Maybe so. But maybe he doesn't deserve to be actually elevated through the ranks into the cabinet of the United States when he's been involved in this. But how dare I? How dare I speak out against the great Alexander Acosta that has transformed the American labor force, I guess. Everybody's such a fan now. This was Ann Coulter. At least one conservative commentator out there has the courage to talk about these things. And she says one thing in here. Boy, I'm going to dig into it.
Author Ann Coulter. Ann, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm so happy to be here on this exciting morning. As you may or may not know, I've been all over this Epstein case since 2005. It was only a local story in Palm Beach. The chief of police, this all originated when some 14-year-old girl in West Palm Beach somehow fell into the cops' hands. I guess it was her mother went and reported it to the police, saying there was a billionaire in Palm Beach who was paying her daughter to come to his mansion and have sex. So the Palm Beach police staged this top secret, absolutely incredible.
Now, I want you to listen to this, because one of Alexander Acosta and all the people who gave Jeffrey Epstein a tap on the wrist said, "Hey, look, at least we got something. The guy's a billionaire with a bunch of great attorneys. We were scared he might not even do any jail time whatsoever." And, you know, these are the things you're hearing, the propaganda you're hearing about why they just couldn't throw the book at Epstein and give him the sentence that he deserved, which was life. Listen to the investigation that kicked this whole thing off.
At least 6-month investigation. They got 17 of the child victims to sign affidavits, some of the procurers. They were watching Epstein's house, collecting his garbage for 6 months. They got affidavits from the houseman saying things like, you know, after the 14-year-old girls would be there when they'd come. So all of this, after this really spectacular investigation, the Palm Beach police are very good, surprisingly, for a small town, but there's a lot of money in that town. They take it to the prosecutors are called state attorneys in Florida, Barry Krischer, who was the one, just, you know, footnote, spent 3 years tormenting Rush Limbaugh over the back pain medication, which, okay, it's a violation, but to be getting all that national publicity over it, and there were some outrageous things done in that regard. Anyway, Barry Krischer, and I mentioned this particularly to counterbalance the political angle that's being taken today.
Oh, yeah,
but I was writing
about
it at the time.
Some of the men, they're both sides, both Republicans and Democrats,
yes,
very prominent men. They're all pigs and pedophiles, if true.
Well, there was one lonely voice in the woods pointing that out long ago, Jillian.
Mm-hmm. I believe it.
So Barry Krischer, big Democratic prosecutor, gets all this information and sentences Epstein to probation.
See, Mike, it was a Democratic prosecutor. He's the one who did all of this. Yeah, I know. There's some nasty Democrats involved in this stuff. Make no mistake. Democrats are up to their neck in this. Clintons are up to their neck in this. This prosecutor's up to his neck in this thing. But it's both. It's both of them. The Democrats do not control the entire deep state and justice apparatus by themselves, do you think? It's just curious to me. Yeah, this was a Democrat thing. This was 12 years ago that all this took place, 14 years ago that this all took place. Republicans didn't seem to want to look into it when they were in control of Congress or in control of the Justice Department back under the Bush administration. They didn't seem to want to look into this themselves. I mean, obviously, if this was all a Democrat issue, boy, they would have had something to really turn an election or two, you'd think. All they'd have to do is bust some high-profile Democrats, show them to be part of an international human trafficking pedophile ring, and they probably would have picked up a few votes. Why do you think they didn't do that?
Probation. He only charges him with one attempt of attempting to solicit prostitution, thus labeling the 14-year-old girls prostitutes. The chief of police, Michael Ryder, goes mental. He starts, talking to the press, And he says, I'm going to take this to the FBI. Well, okay, note here, all of the crimes that they had found based on the mother in West Palm Beach, all of the crimes are state crimes. I mean, people always think, you know, the FBI can go after anything.
Right.
At this point, nobody knew about the island. There was no evidence on the New York offenses. These are state crimes. So the FBI hands it over to Alex Acosta, who is now Trump's labor secretary, as you will hear 10 times a day. Acosta could have done a better job, and his prosecutors could have done a better job. But what they ended up doing, and I think this should be looked at, don't get me wrong, they came under enormous pressure from, as you say, and I was pointing out when Hannity was trying to turn this into an exclusively Democratic scandal.
Thank you. Yeah, there's Sean Hannity out there making sure that all of his viewers know that this is about the Democrats. Look at that. The Democrats have got a bunch of pedophiles in there. When I come back, the most important clip of Ann Coulter, because it made me – this has been going off Spidey sense-wise for a while with the Epstein thing. This is going to be told to the American people as a bunch of rich, out-of-control pedophiles, and yes, that is the case. But is there more to the story? I believe there is. The unfortunate thing is, even if there is, the worse it gets, the less we're probably going to know. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now is the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com. All right, I want to get into this Ann Coulter thing. She says something in here that I think I've been wondering about for a long time and makes a lot of sense. So let's go ahead and get into it.
Until 10, we're joined by Ann Coulter, who you can follow on Twitter at Ann Coulter. Ann, we've seen a lot of speculation as to who else is going to be named in this Jeffrey Epstein case. Lots of Hollywood stars, politicians, billionaires, royalty. Are there any names, do you think, that are going to surprise us?
I think I've been reading that, what's it called, Crazy Days, Crazy Nights, and they're often very good, you know, all the blind items. I'm more dubious of the Hollywood types than I am of international, powerful people. I think the most interesting things... Two things about this case are, number one, where does Jeffrey Epstein get his money? My theory, but my theory doesn't account for it all. We know it's not because he's investing money. He was, you know, a high school math teacher. This guy Wexner grabs him. Oh, you're a genius. And suddenly the amount of real estate and private planes this guy has, it is billions of dollars. You're not privately investing anything without ever, you know, moving the market. That is clearly untrue. My theory was that he was the concierge of this underage sex club, so to speak, and some wealthy men paid for this. But, you know, this is kind of a niche sexual fetish, underage boys and
pedophilia.
Girls. I mean, how many billionaires do we have here? Which makes me, and let me throw the other second thing that I think is very interesting about this case. Epstein, according to both the girls' accounts, he wanted them to have sex with powerful men, come back to him and report on it, describe what they wanted, what their fetishes were, and he had cameras throughout the house. So this is obviously for blackmailing purposes. It just seems to me there is a bigger... Something much bigger is behind this, perhaps a state sponsor, powerful enough people for, as the evidence I described for the original state charge, forget the, you know, Democrat, Republicans, whatever.
Yes.
It just seems to me there's something, a very powerful force behind what's going on here. And
yes. A very powerful force is something going on behind here. And she says it seems to her, And it makes perfect sense. This is something I've been wondering about. Maybe there's a state sponsor in this, that this was some kind of a honey trap. See, this is how the world really works. And then this was followed up. I saw this morning. It was interesting. During the, I guess this was during the vetting process of Alexander Acosta. Question was asked, is the Epstein case going to cause a problem for the confirmation hearings? Acosta had been asked. Acosta had explained breezily, apparently, that back in the day he had just one meeting on the Epstein case. He'd cut the non-prosecution deal with one of Epstein's attorneys because he had, quote, been told to back off, that Epstein was above his pay grade. This is a quote. Quote, I was told Epstein belonged to intelligence and to leave it alone, he told his interviewers in the Trump transition, who evidently thought that was a sufficient answer and went ahead and hired Acosta. The Labor Department has had no comment when asked about this. So Alexander Acosta, look, I think the guy should go today. Do I think he's some nefarious evil force who was a willing participant in this thing? No, I haven't seen any evidence of that. The bottom line is he doesn't deserve to be in the cabinet of the United States, one of the top office holders in the entire country, because he did the bidding of his leaders. But he was told he belonged to intelligence. So that was interesting to me. Epstein was protected last time and given credit by also Robert Mueller was running Jeffrey Epstein, supposedly, as an intelligence asset for his information on the Lehman Brothers situation back in the financial crisis. And so Robert Mueller stepped in above Alexander Acosta and said, well, we need to cut a deal with Epstein. He's one of our assets. He's helping us in prosecutions in the Lehman Brothers case. The problem with that is that there were no prosecutions based on Jeffrey Epstein's testimony about Lehman Brothers stuff. There was nothing. It was just said. There's no evidence that he provided any information whatsoever on the Lehman Brothers stuff. Nothing came of Jeffrey Epstein's help, although he was given a slap on the wrist for running a human trafficking pedophile operation of 12-year-old girls. I really want to be a little bit more clear on my Alexander Acosta stuff. I'm not saying put the guy in jail. I'm not saying that he was committing pedophilia. I'm not saying any of that stuff. I'm saying maybe he doesn't deserve to be promoted. Well, his upper, the people told him he couldn't do anything. It belonged to intelligence. Okay, that's fine. He did his job. He can stay in the Justice Department or keep that job. If, you know, he's just doing what he said. But he deserves to be labor secretary. Everybody's invested in this guy being labor secretary suddenly. What's he done? Anybody want to call up and tell me what a great job he's done at labor secretary? Tell me what he's done that makes him so important and vital to us that somebody who played any part in this travesty should retain his position. Now, whew, I'm going to run out of time. I was looking into Maxwell. Forget her first name. It's like Giselle. It's not Giselle. It's Jill Zane Maxwell. This is the main madam for Jeffrey Epstein. And I was running across this. Now, we've got Ann Coulter saying, well, this seems like a bigger operation. Ann Coulter doesn't know. She didn't break any big news there, but it certainly sounds like something that I've been wondering about at the same time. And then you've got them interviewing Alexander Acosta, and he says, quote, I was told Epstein belonged to intelligence and to leave it alone. And then you've got Giselle Maxwell. Do you know who Ghislaine, I'm saying her name wrong, I'm pretty sure. I'm actually kind of flustered right now. I'm so ticked off. Ghislaine Maxwell is the daughter of Robert Maxwell. Now I want to see if I can get through this, some of this story. I want to do it. He was found floating in the ocean a while back. People thought he either committed suicide, he wasn't in great health. I think he weighed about 300 pounds. He wouldn't have if he listened to the Mike Madison Hump Day Health segment with Jordan Townsend next hour. But anyway, he was found floating. There's been all kinds of issues with him. This is the father of the madam with Jeffrey Epstein. Let me read you a little something about him. This was in The Guardian a while back. Maxwell built up a tremendous catalog of politically influential contacts with wide commercial implications. For over 20 years, he had established a network of commercial and political interest in the communist countries of Eastern Europe, which was a linchpin of his Pergamon press company. Yet this extraordinary quilt of commercial contacts with the East European communist world concealed something else. Maxwell was also involved in passing intelligence to the West about the communist rulers. In fact, he was almost certainly being used as and using himself as a two-way intelligence conduit. This arrangement included passing intelligence to the Israeli secret forces with whom he became increasingly involved towards the end of his life. Again, this is the father of the main madam in the Jeffrey Epstein case. Maxwell was highly regarded by the Israeli government. He was certainly used by them to help the process of Jewish immigration from the Soviet Union, and in return, he was seen by the Soviet government as an important contact in dealing with Israel. This involved commercial interests as well that linked Maxwell with secret defense deals between Israel and the countries of Eastern Europe. Maxwell had important investments in the Israeli defense industry, especially in the trading park at Haifa. The story continues to go on. I read another post here. To bring plausibility to the theory that Epstein and or Ghislaine were running the child sex blackmail ring on behalf of the Mossad, this is the Israeli intelligence agencies, we have to establish a clear link to the Mossad. One is Robert Maxwell via his daughter Ghislaine. The weight of evidence suggests that in 1991, the Mossad itself murdered Robert Maxwell after he allegedly tried to blackmail them into paying off his massive debts and because of the implications of the revelations in the Samson option, Israel's nuclear arsenal and American foreign policy by journalist Seymour Hersh that same year. In that book, Seymour Hersh said that Robert Maxwell, the father of the main madam with Epstein, had been a secret spy for the Mossad, something that was not publicly known up until that point when Hersh put out that book. After British Labour MPs, to give a little bit of credibility to this fact, after British Labour MPs George Galloway and Rupert Allison quoted before the House of Commons a portion of Hersh's book as it pertained to Maxwell and demanded an investigation into Maxwell and his Mossad ties. So the madam, the facilitator, the concierge of Jeffrey Epstein's international pedophile human trafficking ring, her father was a Mossad agent. Alexander Acosta is told, hands off Jeffrey Epstein. He's intelligence. How many people were blackmailed during the course of this thing? He had cameras everywhere. Now, there's no direct link to this. And let me tell you, if it's true, there never will be. Some low-level pedophile freaks, maybe a couple of headline names, will pay a heavy price for this. Jeffrey Epstein may go down if he survives another week or two. But if this is an intelligence operation, they'll wrap themselves in the cloak of national security. The American people will snap into line like well-behaved children and accept anything they say. This will never come out. But it makes more sense than just about anything else. This is a sick story. We'll probably finish up with it tomorrow. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. It's a good time for you to be listening to WYAB right now. Every week, Wednesdays, 10 to 11 o'clock, we take a break from current events and maddening, sickening world of politics. And we do something on the more positive side about taking control of your own health. This show is about topics that will hopefully bring you to the realization that you are not helpless to your health outcomes, that you can actually make a difference with a little bit more knowledge that's not typically given to you. So we cover stuff that you're not going to hear in the mainstream news in this Hump Day Health segment every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock. I say every show I start off with the fact I am not a doctor, I'm not a scientist, I'm not a biologist, I'm not a chemist, I'm not a therapist, I'm not a surgeon, I'm not a nothing. I've got no certification. I'm not in any way, shape, or form qualified to tell you what to do for your own situation or your health. I just try to lay out research topics where you can think to yourself, oh, yeah, that's something I'm suffering from, and then do your own research. But with us today, we've got Jordan Townsend in, and Jordan is certified an actual nutritionist. Jordan, thanks again for joining us.
Glad to be here.
All right. So kind of a lot of stuff to talk about today. I want to talk about Impossible Burger. We're going to talk about eggs. You say, are you going to go ahead and finally solve the egg debate? You know, the great egg debate. It changes about every 3 years, I think. Eggs are good, eggs are bad. Y'all have even got a commercial spot
right
on it. Yeah, it's very, you know, the egg debate. I come from a long line of egg eaters in my family. And it was so funny when my dad would eat an egg, two fried eggs, every single morning of his life. His cholesterol's always been fine, incredibly healthy his entire life. And my mom got on the no cholesterol kick, and she'd get on to him and say, oh, you know, why do you eat these eggs every morning? And he just, eggs are good for you.
Just do egg whites, right?
Yeah, it still drives me crazy at old Seinfeld reruns where Jerry Seinfeld orders egg white omelets, and I just yell out, as much as I love Seinfeld, I yell at the screen, stop it, Jerry, you're propagating propaganda. I have a couple of before we get into eggs, we're also going to talk about antibiotics and flu, which is interesting. I want to talk about Impossible Burger for a second, but this is my show, and so I control the airwaves, and I've got a couple of questions for you. What is the what's your view on dairy?
My view on dairy. So my biggest issue with dairy, especially if you're coming from like an adult human, you've already been weaned, right?
Right.
So you have no business.
Let's hope.
Hopefully, right?
Hopefully.
You can actually do that a lot longer than we do nowadays, but that's another story for another time. But yes, exactly. Once you've been weaned, your body stops naturally producing the thing that breaks down lactose. So your body's big issue is it doesn't really think you're going to be drinking milk anymore. So when you start putting milk in, that's why so many people have a bad response to dairy, especially excess dairy. Now, every blue moon, especially something like cheese or butter, which we can get to those in just a second, those aren't going to cause as much issues because of we've changed them. But when it comes to just straight dairy, what is dairy? What are we calling dairy? It's cow's milk. So what is milk? Why are humans drinking milk at all? You got to understand, milk is growth formula. So I'm trying to put as much weight as fast as possible on this baby cow. So it's got things like growth hormones in it. It's got all sorts of different nutrients and things. So as far as a survival food, let's go back 10,000 years. Dairy is going to be amazing to make sure you and your family actually have nutrition and calories to live. But you come back down to a modern world that we're living in now, where we're eating it for breakfast in our cereal, then we have a glass of milk in the evenings. Our bodies are going, what are you doing?
And even,
I have no
meat
for this.
I've never thought about that too, but I mean, even other animals, everybody weans.
Exactly.
I mean, calves wean off of cows. I mean, every animal weans, and then they never see another drop of milk again.
Right. Well, why would you? You can now sustain yourself on all these other foods. The mom doesn't need to keep you alive anymore. But you also got to start to look at it like this, because there's so many things to these issues, as you notice with food. We always want it to be A plus B. We want it to just be that simple. It's that easy. But if you look at a cow, this is what people don't think about. A cow is born at about 100 to 200 pounds. So an adult human's going to max out about 150 to 250. So once that cow becomes full grown, you're looking at 800 to 1,200 pound animal. So when you're drinking the milk that's made for that size of an animal, your body's not adapted for that. It says these protein structures are huge. There's a lot of complicated stuff in here that we're not even – it's nowhere in our biology are you going to be drinking milk from another mammal.
How long have we been drinking milk? Like in a form like that? I mean, I never really thought about it, but obviously
– Well, you know. I think cheese making goes back about 4,000 years. So – you could assume before that, because so what happened with cheese, they left it out. Well, actually, what they did was they put it in a goat's stomach, and see, that's where dairy actually started. It wasn't cows. Bovine came way, way later. Goats were the first animals that they sort of domesticated. Why? They're easy. They're small. You can actually catch them and deal with them versus a 1,200-pound bovine. So what actually happened was they were storing the milk from the goats in the goat's stomachs. So there was an enzyme or a bacteria in there that was breaking down the lactose and turning
the stomach
it into
out
cheese
externally store it in there. Okay.
Well, let's go back 5,000 years. Do you have a basket? Do you have a bucket? What are you going to carry this liquid around with you in? So what they found was accidentally by storing it in the stomach of the sheep, once they had dried it and prepared it, it started turning into this hard, clumpy thing. Well, the weird thing was the hard, clumpy thing would not spoil.
And somebody took a bite out of it. Look at this.
I always tell people, how hungry are you? Because it's always a time thing when it comes to that. You'll try pretty much anything. Think about alcohol. First person that took a sip of beer, that was a bold step. That was just old, rotten, fermenting grain.
I remember taking that step when I was about 15.
Exactly. Beers came in a nice can, and it was filtered properly and cleaned up for you. So that's the thing. Exactly. So what happened was these people said, hey, this lumpy stuff doesn't spoil. It will last another 2 or 3 months where the milk will go bad in maybe 1 to 3 days. Welcome to cheese. And that's what I was going to say. When you get, there's levels to dairy. The worst one is cow's milk. That's what you need to stay as far away from as possible. No part of you needs cow's milk. Don't talk about calcium. There's plenty of forms of calcium out there. What you really got to realize more than anything is you're not supposed to eat it. So if you're eating something you're not supposed to eat anymore, is that going to be good for you? Is that how your body's going to function optimally? No.
Okay. All right. Well, then that leads me to really what my question is. That was a much more interesting answer than I had anticipated. So we see where you are on that. So I, after I work out, I drink a protein shake. I mean, most of my day is either, you know, a fat coffee, which got butter in it. We probably won't talk about it more today, but I do eat, and then the rest of the day is water. I mean, it's almost all I drink now, occasionally unsweet tea, but I do have a protein shake. So, what is my best milk substitute for that protein shake? I also put 2 raw eggs in there. Can you? What do you think about that?
I love that. That's super 80s of you, Mike, to put 2 raw eggs in there.
It's just easy. It's just very easy. It doesn't affect the taste. It doesn't bother me. I'm not grossed out. I blend it up, you know. So,
And as we'll get to, eggs are not bad.
No.
Not something
and
you
I've,
need to be
I've
want.
Been doing, you know, I've been eating raw eggs like that almost every day for, you know, 20 years just about. I find them to be a fantastic way for me to get some more protein and fats anyway. All right. So I digress. What is my best bet for a milk substitute? Because I do not like water or juice with protein powder. I like a creamy thing. What I do is I mix protein powder, 2 raw eggs, about 1/2 of a banana, and then I use either almond milk. Recently I got almond cashew milk, but what is the best one? What should I be looking for?
Any of those nut milks, I'm putting this in quotes because the FDA is actually fighting them right now, them being able to call that milk.
Right.
So that's, we digress. So any of those are going to be way, way, way better options because your body knows what a cashew is. Your body knows what an almond is. So all those are is they grind them down into a powder. They add water to them. So that's really all you're drinking with almond milk is really, really finely ground almonds. So any of the nut milks, coconut, almond,
I was about to ask about coconut.
Cashew,
yeah.
Any of those would be fine. Now, some people are a little sensitive to the different nuts, or some people's coconut messes with them. Find which one works for you. That's why I always tell people there's no perfect broad answer. Find the one that works for you, but stay away from the actual baby cow growth formula. That's not what you need in your diet.
That is a real shame because I got to tell you, chocolate chip cookies and a cold glass of dairy milk is fantastic. But when you know.
You know why that is, though. So, milk, you got to really go back to what milk is milk is a growth fluid. So, it's got carbohydrates, fat, and protein. So, when you drink milk, it presses all of those reward buttons. It goes, whoa, you found something really special, human. This has all three of the macronutrients in one simple thing. So, again, go back thousands of years. That's going to make sure you live through winter. So, that's very, very important. The level of milk consumption we have today is astronomical.
Yeah.
It's way higher than it ever physically should be able to be. So that's what's going on. It's, as you've noticed with most of our issues, it's not that X is bad. It's excess of X over time. That's what causes our issues.
I know that I learned a while back, hopefully this is right and you're not about to embarrass me, but I got my kids, whenever they got snotty or anything like that, started getting colds, one of the first things I did was get them off of sugar and got them off of dairy if they were on anything like that. Because my understanding was that dairy actually kind of supercharges the mucus production and stuff like that. Is that correct?
Well, mostly it's inflammatory because you can't break it down. You don't have those enzymes anymore naturally. So when it comes in, the body kind of panics. It goes, hey, I don't have any mechanism to process and handle this. So it goes to the liver, that liver gets overwhelmed. That's when you see that sinus cruddy, that congestion that starts up. So again, it all makes sense once you step back and you can see and you understand the process. That's
so
why
is that the same? Is that the same reason my daughter just got her wisdom teeth out a few days ago, and the doctor actually told her no dairy for several days? Is that why inflammation aspect of it? I'd never heard that attached to like a surgery like that.
Mom, I couldn't tell you exactly why. My only guess would be that she's on probably some sort of painkiller, and that's going to be a big tax on your liver.
Oh, she's on heroin. Yeah, I mean, straight out.
Yeah. They give you Oxycontin. That's yeah. the thing. By the way, guys, they still prescribe those despite the epidemic.
But right, yeah, I know. Yeah, heroin's actually an
That would be my only guess, is that it's got something to do with it's going to put way more stress on that liver if she starts to eat something like that on top of.
All right, so across the board, pretty much nut, coconut oil, almond, any of those those kinds of things are better for me, a better alternative than milk, and all of them are pretty much created equal. Then there's not one of them's worse.
I prefer cashew because cashews are oily, and if you've probably noticed, if you've ever had almond milk, it's just kind of bland. It's kind of flat, whereas the cashew's actually got that fattiness to it, so it tastes closer to what true milk would taste like.
Just yesterday.
So that's just my pro tip for people. That and coconut are similar.
I was mad. I went to the grocery store yesterday, and I was like, oh, man, I'm one day away from asking Jordan this question, but I went ahead and got an almond and cashew
combined. You had a mix?
Combined.
You said that? Yeah. Okay. I've not heard of that.
Yeah, it's all new, so I just straddled like a chicken. I just straddled. So anyway, okay, I've still got a couple other questions for you nutritionally that I'm going to use this showtime to ask you. But when we come back, I want to talk about the Impossible Burger. This thing is sweeping the nation. They finally have come up with a vegetarian substitute that will satiate the masses' meat desires, but it seems to me that maybe it's not the panacea that they're painting it out to be. So anyway, we're talking to Jordan Townsend, Naturally You, out in Ridgeland. He's our resident nutritionist. We'll be right back. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, we are back in the studio with us, Jordan Townsend from Naturally You, our resident nutritionist. All right, Jordan, so technology has gotten into our food, too, in a pretty heavy way. Recently, the big news is around this fake meat or vegetarian take on meat called the Impossible Burger. I'm going to read you a little something I ran across yesterday because this is one of the first things I heard about it. This Impossible Burger, and I guess the other one is called Beyond Meat. I think those are two different kind of competing things.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the first things I heard about it was that it is made using GMO soy. And boy, to me, alarm bells started ringing. I read you this. This is from Moms Across America. Announces today, this was like a press release that they did, the Impossible Burger tested positive for glyphosate. Levels of glyphosate detected in the Impossible Burger by Health Research Institute laboratories were 11 times higher than the Beyond Meat Burger. Total result, as it gets into some of these scientific things, quote, we are shocked to find that the Impossible Burger can have up to 11 times higher levels of glyphosate residues than the Beyond Meat Burger, according to these samples tested. The new product is being marketed as a solution for healthy eating, when in fact 11 parts per billion of glyphosate herbicide consumption can be highly dangerous. Only 0.1 part per billion of glyphosate has been shown to alter the gene function of over 4,000 genes in the livers, kidneys, and cause severe organ damage in rats. I am gravely concerned that consumers are being misled to believe the Impossible Burger is healthy. That is from Zen Honeycutt. Man, I love that name. Zen Honeycutt, Executive Director of Moms Across America, said the Impossible Burger is made with GMO soy, which has been shown to cause organ damage, and animal studies have been shown to be significantly different from non-GMO soy. So what's the scoop?
So I'm really glad that you brought this up because that was my exact thought when I did my own research on this. So first thing I have to break to you, 99.9% of soy is GMO.
Yep.
You're not going to find non-GMO soy unless you go to a family farm that has a soy field.
And so, it's in everything. Soy lectin, soy protein, soy isolate.
So first off, hate to break that one to you. Same with corn. You're not going to find non-GMO corn unless it's being imported most likely. So second thing, the reason that is more importantly, when I was doing my research about this, I saw that the Beyond Meat Burger is pea protein. And to me, that was immediately more of a desirable thing because of its source. Whereas I looked at the Impossible Burger, and the Impossible Burger is the one that's at Burger King, if I'm not mistaken.
I think there's several places that have rolled it out.
Something like that.
Oh, there's chefs across the nation that are rolling this thing out. I had a list of some of them. But yeah, this is going mainstream.
Gotcha, yeah. So the Impossible Burger is the one you're going to get more in like a restaurant setting, whereas the Beyond Meat is going to be in a grocery store. That's where you're going to find that. So to me, exactly, you've heard me say this a million times. Where is it coming from? What is it made out of? What is your food eating? Those are what matter the most. So my first issue when I saw the Impossible Burger was I saw soy protein immediately off my list. Most importantly, this is what no one ever really talks about, the whole BPA scare we had a couple of years ago. That was because of their...
That's the plastics, the estrogen mimickers and the plastics,
exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Soy is a phytoestrogen. Right. All that means is a plant-based chemical that resembles and acts like estrogen in the body. So the only issue with this is now you're going to, especially for men, you're getting what, 11 times the amount of soy that you were getting before? That's going to change the way these hormones function.
So if you switch out cow meat for the Impossible Burger, you're going to be shopping for a bra soon if you're a dude.
Right. You start crying at movies and all that fun stuff.
Yeah. Moobs. Man boobs. I'm serious. I mean, I look around society and I mean, the people talk about these things. Guys are having plastic surgery to have breast reduction surgery done now. And we're eating all these things like the BPA and all the soy that have these estrogen mimickers.
So that was my main issue with that. Now, as far as the Beyond Meat burger goes, I had way less issues with that. And I actually think that's a more sustainable model for sure. Because, again, we get into water consumption, land use, resources. What it costs to actually make a hamburger is a lot more than you really think.
Are peas not as often GMO, too? Is that part of the thing? I mean, because what they're saying here is that the Impossible Burger has 11 times as much glyphosate, which tells you, obviously, they're GMO soys. But right. So if there's a lot less in the peas.
Well, think about peas. It's not an industrial crop. So that's the biggest thing. It probably has some genetic tweaks and stuff to it. It hasn't been slimmed down like the corn has. It hasn't been absolutely just put to one or two varieties like the soy has, because soy has so many uses. So they're growing as much soy as they can. They know they're going to sell it all. Peas are different. It's just not a cash crop like those other ones are. Yeah. So I'm sure there's some tweaks and some GMO type stuff to it, because pretty much everything food you're eating has been bred or changed to some degree at this point. We're too far into this understanding genomes for us not to do that.
But is there a difference between, because this is something people talk about a lot, and I kind of understand it, but my big concern with GMOs is not as much, and maybe it should be, is not as much the gene manipulation of these things, because I do know we've been doing selective breeding, we've been doing crossbreedings. I mean, like you say, things have been going on for a long time to get the most desirable traits out of different foods. My big problem with most GMO things is that I know that they're sprayed with those herbicides, and those herbicides are getting into our gut, killing our good, blah, blah, blah. So that's the main problem with it. But is the gene editing in GMOs significantly different than just what's been used before?
Well, yes. That's the problem is CRISPR, which we've talked about a little bit on here before, is it kind of unlocked this whole other side of it that we'd never had access to before. Because you used to think about it like this. Used to we could read the book. We could look at the genes and see what they say. Now we can edit the book. So all of a sudden we have this software. We can go in and change what the book says. That's breakthrough. That's what's crazy about a lot of where the GMOs are going, and that's what kind of starts to scare people. Because my issue with GMOs is if you breed two plants to be more desirable for what you want out of that plant, no issue. My issue is when you take frog DNA and you put it in corn.
Right.
Okay, we know that's not natural. We know there's zero chance that ever occurs on its own. So that's when I start to get a little more nervous, is because now what does that do long term?
Yeah.
We don't know. We
it. The BT corn, the BT toxin in corn.
Roundup Ready corn.
Yeah.
Which so produces its own herbicide.
Right. It makes the stomachs of the insects that eat it explode.
Right, but you're safe. Don't worry, Mike.
Yeah,
but
of course, certainly wouldn't affect us. This is from Impossible Burger. The GM ingredients of the Impossible Burger, which includes a genetically modified yeast and GM soy legomoglobulin proteins, 46 of which are undisclosed and untested, are even more concerning to many customers than the long-term health effects from glyphosate because of the reported immediate allergic reaction potential, which is acknowledged by the manufacturer. The part of the genetically modified soy used in the Impossible Burger has never been allowed in the human food supply and has not been properly safety tested. That's from Moms Across America.
That's what I just told you. That's the issue. We do not know. So the crazy thing is in 50 years we could find out it was not an issue, didn't cause any problems. Or 50 yeah. years, we run out. Oh my gosh, that's why our cancer rates tripled in the last 20 years. We don't know. But it's crazy that this is already on the market, already available for you to buy and put in your body. And we don't know.
Well, we've had veggie burgers for a long time, but this Impossible Burger, this is these are the big ones.
They're supposed
these are
to be
the big
good.
Movers.
That's yeah, the change. That's the thing. Is it supposed to taste good?
Well, it bleeds, too.
That's beet juice, by the way. Did you read that?
No, I didn't. I saw them talking about that. They've got the texture, they've got the taste, and they've actually gets it to bleed on the and I guess that keeps it kind of moist, too, when
exactly.
you do it.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I was just curious. It doesn't seem like a good idea to me, but it's another one of these things. It's like diet sodas. Boy, you know, some people they're still believing the cholesterol myth. They're still scared of red meat to any degree. And so they think, and this is the sad thing about all these health topics, they think they're doing the right thing for themselves. They are trying to make positive changes for their own health. Yet again, they're headed into another trap door with this stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We come back. We're going to talk about you had antibiotics and the flu, and we're going to get into eggs next. I'm dying to get into eggs. How many weeks have we been trying to do the great egg debate?
It's been a while on that one.
Yep. All right. We'll be right back with the egg debate. Stay with us.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No bad. No wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, Jordan Townsend with Naturally You is in studio with us, and we're going to settle this once and for all. The great egg debate. As I started the show off, you know, my dad used to eat a lot of eggs. He just poo-pooed my mom's concern over his cholesterol. His cholesterol was never bad. He was incredibly healthy his whole life. And I just did the math during the segment. I have poo-pooed the egg advice, too. I have two... And I have a question about this, too. I have two raw eggs in every protein shake that I have post-workout and sometimes if I'm just hungry. So I figured out I've had about 1,440 raw eggs over the past 20 years. I've never experienced any problems. Your thoughts about raw eggs?
So similar to any of the raw foods, more than anything to me, is they try. It's all scare tactics because, again, they want to control. Well, hey, you have to get your milk from me. Don't be milking your cow and just drinking it. That's dangerous.
Yeah, raw milk will get you a SWAT team raid.
Yeah, don't grow tomatoes in your own yard. That's dang. You could mess up and get sick. You could die in a car wreck. So just because salmonella is possible doesn't mean you can't ever have a raw egg ever. As you know, people have eaten raw eggs for a long, long time. With no issues. So it's all about how do you handle that thing? Is it properly taken care of, stored in a good place? All of those things come into effect. Just because it's an option doesn't mean it's something you should never do ever.
Yeah, and I know that, I mean, I know salmonella is a real thing, and there could be a possibility
sure.
I get it sometime. But again, I'm 1,400 eggs into it, and so far, so good. Now, the interesting thing to me about eggs is that we were told that eggs were no good, particularly attacked on the cholesterol front. But I always looked at it and thought, well, that's very interesting. I mean, doesn't an egg essentially possess everything that becomes a chicken? And we certainly love to eat chicken, and there's nobody saying stay away from chicken. Well, until recently, actually, they have come out and said now this is like beef. But, you know, to me it was like, isn't this just all the building blocks of a chicken?
Yeah, it's essentially the animal version of a seed. It's got every single component you need to be a full-grown chicken or a full-grown individual. So you got to go back. First thing I want to start with, what do you think the main reason your dad didn't listen to your mom and all the other experts were?
Because
his dad ate eggs, and his dad ate eggs, and his dad ate eggs. So You have generations of all these people eating eggs all the time. There's no heart attacks. They're not dying of anything like that. They're not having any problems with the eggs because that's not the issue. So you got to kind of go back to why you started. You mentioned it earlier. We were so afraid of cholesterol. So that we said, okay, any food that has cholesterol, we've got to get down. We've got to stop people from eating it. Chief among those were eggs. Eggs were a very simple breakfast item. A lot of America was eating eggs for breakfast, so that's why that was the one they chose more so than red meats. And people knew that, but you live in America. We still don't have our barbecue, Mike. We still have 4th of July. I'm going to make a steak, and I'm going to grill some burgers. So for Americans, it was a little more palatable to cut those two eggs out in the morning so I can still have that T-bone steak at night. But again, once you understand cholesterol, cholesterol is not anything you need to fear. First off, dietary cholesterol. I've said this how many times on this podcast?
Yeah, I know.
Dietary cholesterol does not impact your blood cholesterol. So it does not matter how much you eat. Your blood cholesterol is going to be determined by your liver every day based on what, Mike? Need. If you need more, it makes more. If you need less, it makes less. So that's what this whole debate got screwed up to begin with. All the studies they did on cholesterol, mice. You know who doesn't eat a lot of red meat, Mike? Mice. So they had extremely poor reactions to this diet. Whereas when they moved to humans, they didn't really notice anything. So that's where the whole issue started. They scared us from one specific nutrient and then all the foods associated with that nutrient. So if you really break down an egg, like you just mentioned earlier, it is so diverse. It's got zinc, it's got sulfur, it's got cholesterol, it's got amino acids. It's almost like the milk version of a, it's kind of like milk. It's got all of those different things. One thing it's missing is carbohydrates. It doesn't have a lot of those. It's mostly protein. It's mostly fat. So especially for the fat-starved nation that we have now where we're so afraid of fat, we're not eating it anymore. Always remind people, your brain, the thing that makes you you, gives you your personality, all your cognitive reasoning, is over 60% fat.
Yeah.
So if you're on a low-fat diet, stop. You're starving your most important organ. So this is where we already get off track. People go, what? Exactly. So that's why you don't need to fear something that cannot impact your blood cholesterol and is full of a lot of the stuff that you're not going to get from other sources. So that's what's crazy about eggs is basically they're a milk-type product. They've got all of this very, very intricate, very hard-to-come-by nutrition locked in this little package that turns out to be good tasting and really, really easy to make.
Well, they also, you know, when you got into the cholesterol thing, the idea was not the egg. You had to get rid of the egg yolk.
Well, yeah, that's where the fat and the cholesterol is. The egg whites is just the
but
protein.
But that's where the powerhouse of the nutrition is in the yolk, isn't it? That's where most of the nutrients. I mean, isn't the egg white essentially like the amniotic fluid type thing? I mean, it's just
It's mostly the amino acids. So, yeah. So, the fats, the fat-soluble vitamins, vitamin D, vitamin E, A, all of those are in the yolk. The zinc.
Well, wait, in the yolk or the white?
The yolk.
Okay.
The white has almost nothing. That's the irony.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
The yolk has none of, the white has none of the stuff you really need. It's got protein, but my gosh, you can get protein from an Impossible Burger. You don't need eggs for protein.
So they got us to take out
the
best part of the egg, and I will say the most tasty part of the egg when you cook them.
Precisely.
Now, I eat them raw and I blend them up, but don't taste anything. But yeah, the best tasting part and the most nutritionally sound part of the egg, and they've been getting us to take it out for 30 years.
So exactly, but and again, it was all because of a misunderstood fear of one specific nutrient. This is like if tomorrow vitamin A is just like feared. You can't have any foods with vitamin A. What are you talking about? We've eaten these foods forever. No, we found out that's what's causing heart disease. Just vitamin A? You see how crazy that sounds. But all those years ago when it was cholesterol, we just said, okay, we'll take statins. We'll just stop eating eggs if that'll make sure I live longer. It was untrue. It was not correct on what they figured out about it.
What's the best way to cook eggs then if you're eating them cooked?
The less is better. I like runny yolks, so that's just personal preference, but I do sunny side up.
So
I keep it simple.
Do you kill things in it? I mean, do you reduce the nutritional I mean, the egg's a nutritional powerhouse, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So if you cook an egg, you know, to an over well, or what do you call it? Or hard boiled. Yeah, I mean, a hard fried egg or anything like that. Are you killing any of the good nutrients? Are you still getting them? Or what's the situation?
You are, and you're, that's the problem. That's why I try to tell people, remember, the true human diet's 50-50. 50% cooked, 50% raw. That's what nobody really talks about. Most Americans is 90% cooked, 10% raw, if that. And that's because they had lettuce on their burger.
Yeah.
So what you got to remember is the biggest issue with cooking, heat denatures, breaks down. A lot of these vitamins and things cannot handle the heat, so they dissolve and don't work. So less cooking typically is better. That's why you don't want a super well-done steak. You got rid of a lot of the good stuff in there just by overcooking it.
Right.
So it's not that cooking's bad, but the longer you cook something, the more intensely you cook something, the less that it's able to hold on to and keep that natural thing. Perfect example of this is broccoli. Raw broccoli and cooked broccoli are actually completely different foods based on when you start to cook. A lot of that vitamin C is water soluble. So as soon as you start steaming it, guess what leaves? This is what other people don't – this is also a thing people don't talk about. I don't think we've even gotten into it on this show a lot, is cooking is – amazing, but it actually causes us to lose a lot of stuff from our food. Now, you're not going to be able to eat meat without cooking it, but the vegetables and the plants are the ones you really want to eat more raw if you can.
Well, you know, I looked at eggs too, and eating raw eggs. I always try to take this back to, you know, Cro-Magnon man or whatever, your Neanderthals or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I just thought, man, what a great thing. You're walking through the forest, you're hungry, and you run into a nest and you see these eggs. I mean, you're just like, oh, hell yeah. You can crack it open and be on your way. It just seemed natural to me. And you see so many other animals too, obviously snakes and other predators will go into a nest and take an egg and eat an egg. So.
Right. Some of them eat exclusively eggs. That's their whole diet. But yeah, exactly. And again, you got – all I want people to hear is – understand why they thought they were bad. It was simply because of cholesterol. They ignored the other 200 plus nutrients in there and said, okay, well, because it has high cholesterol, you don't need to eat that. That's crazy. That makes no sense.
Well, I also, is there an upper limit for eggs? Because really, I've been trying to gain weight. And so I'm having two raw eggs and a protein shake. Can I have more? I mean, does it matter if I end up with six eggs? It just seems like a great way to get protein, to get fat, to get calories, to get it. It's easy for me.
Well, because it has no carbs, I would say yes. Why? Eggs are very satisfying. That's the other reason you don't want to take the yolk out. As soon as you do, that's the fat. And the fat is what actually fills you up. That's why skim milk, you can drink an entire gallon and not blink. You get one glass of whole milk, you don't even finish it. Fat is the satisfier. So when we scared people about fat 20, 30 years ago, the issue was all of a sudden people were bottomless pits.
Yeah.
Who do you think that helps? General Mills, Frito-Lay, Coca-Cola. So that's what you got to understand is the best thing about eggs is always do it. Eat as many eggs as you want. You're going to get about three and be like, okay, I am not hungry. Versus you eat a donut and a waffle.
Okay, so we're going to get back to me personally because this is my show. Here's the odd thing I have. You know, I do a pretty high fat diet. I hadn't been last 2 weeks. I've been out of ketosis. I've eaten some stuff that's taken me out of ketosis. I haven't done it, but when I do keto, I love the way it feels. It definitely keeps me in pretty decent shape. But I've been trying to gain weight, and the problem is when I eat a high fat diet, I just am not hungry enough. So like I'm trying to look for eggs to say, here's a way to get more calories in that I don't really have to think about because I'm not hungry. I'm not eating enough. I'm probably in a calorie deficit every single day because I'm just flat out because I eat so much high fat stuff. I don't want to eat. I'm trying to figure out how to eat more is what I'm trying to say.
Well, you can't. That's the biggest issue with fat. Two best friends in food. That's what I tell all my clients. Fat and fiber. You will not physically be able to overeat those. No one goes back for their third helping of broccoli. Because broccoli does not satisfy – it satisfies you and doesn't drive your appetite up. That's why fat and fiber do that, though. You can't break down fiber. So when you start putting a bunch of salad, broccoli, cauliflower, asparagus, coconut oil, butter, any of those eggs, any of those types of things in, cheesecake even, all of a sudden what happens? You go, ugh, I am full. It's because it takes at least 45 minutes to an hour to take that fat and turn it into energy. So your body will put the brakes on you. So this is the real travesty of us getting people on a low-fat diet. They're bottomless pits. If you eat, I always remind people, the best business to be in has got to be Cheetos and Coca-Cola. Why? Cheetos make you hungry. Coke makes you thirsty.
Yeah.
How convenient, you sell a food that makes you want more of that food. Whereas you start to eat something high fat, like you just said, I physically don't even want food. I'm going to have to force myself to eat. That's your body putting the brakes on you, saying, hey, I haven't even started on the back half of all this fat you just ate. So don't eat anything. We're still working on getting energy out of it. Whereas with carbohydrates, the faster you can put them in, faster the body turns into glucose. So that's the thing, is they've even done studies. I think I mentioned this last time. The upper limit for, they did it with prisoners. They gave them unlimited food. The upper limit that they could get of added fat was about 2,000 calories. They could not find an upper limit of carbohydrates. They had to physically stop them at 10,000 added calories.
That, yeah.
So that's what's crazy. That's what I just try to tell people, is these foods are making you hungry. This isn't about you. You're putting things in that are going to drive your appetite up, and then you're hungry in 30 minutes. Duh. That's how it works. That's how your biology works.
Yeah, I mean, I'm active, and I'm not hungry. And I talk to people all the time, because I'll tell people, yeah, I'm trying to gain about 10 pounds, and you know, I'm trying to do it healthy. I'm trying to work out and gain some weight that way. And I'm like, I can't seem to get in a calorie surplus that I think I need to be in, because I'm just not hungry. So I'm trying to find some hacks for that. But anyway, all right, when we come back, I got another question about a couple of things that I'm eating for me personally. And then we're going to get into, you were talking about antibiotics and the flu and some of the misconceptions there. So we'll finish up with that. We're talking to Jordan Townsend, Naturally You in Ridgeland. Be right back. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424. Final segment here with Jordan Townsend from Naturally You. Jordan, tell us real quick what you guys do in Ridgeland before we get into our last topic here.
So, yes, we run a nutrition response testing center. So, basically, we come in and we can customize a nutrition program for your body specifically, not just what Jordan thinks you need or what I want to put you on. No, we use your body to test and figure out specifically what vitamin, what mineral, what essential fatty acid you specifically need versus which one might be good for you.
Because a lot of chronic conditions and problems people are experiencing are nutritional deficiencies, correct?
All.
Yeah. Yeah,
all are.
I mean, this is as old as time. Is it Hippocrates that said, "Let food be thy medicine, medicine be thy food"? You know, I mean,
that's the oath our doctors take. The Hippocratic oath. How beautiful.
Yeah, they've worked. The pharmaceutical company has made sure that is not enforced anymore. Anyway, okay, so you test people and you work with whole food supplementation.
Yeah, some herbs, but most. Most of what we sell is whole food because people just do not eat the foods anymore that they need to run this body properly.
Okay, I want quick answers here. I want to get these in real quick. I eat those red cherries are at the grocery store these days. They're cheap. They're usually expensive, like $4.99, $5.99 a pound. They were like a treat. Now they must have had a bumper crop. They're all over the place. What's the deal with those things? Are they nutritionally good? They're kind of tart, a little
cherries
sweet,
though. Cherries are pretty low sugar, so that's what I was going to say.
Good.
Size is usually a good indication of that.
Good, good. And then one other thing, alternative to vegetables. I do get rushed, and I'm not good at eating a ton of salad and stuff like that, and even broccoli. I try to keep those things in my diet. But I also take spirulina from time to time. Can you actually use something like a spirulina? Like if I have a big fatty piece of meat or something like that with dinner and ate spirulina, would I get the same nutritional benefit as if I had had a salad?
Very, very similar. Yeah, you're going to get a lot of fiber and stuff like that because that's an algae, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So that one's going to be fine. You're actually going to get a lot of that chlorophyll and, more importantly, the phytonutrients. We talked about this last time. It's not – they can't tell you why vegetables are good, because it has way too many compounds in it for us to individually isolate all of them.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good news. That's good news. I may abuse that advice.
Spirulina and protein shakes. That's what Mike drinks, guys.
Right. That's right. Okay. You wanted to talk about antibiotics. We only got about 3 minutes left, as we always end up with crunched on time, but it was interesting to me. So just go ahead.
So I was scrolling through the interwebs, and I found this study that came out. It was a publication. They found that if you have the flu, or I think it was really any virus, but they specifically studied influenza, and a doctor prescribes you antibiotics, it can actually prolong how long it takes you to recover from that, because what happens is the antibiotics kill the bacteria. So you got to first realize that colds, flus, these types of things are viruses. Antibiotics do nothing for a virus, another thing most people don't understand. So what happens, you take this antibiotic, it kills the good gut flora in your body. Your gut bacteria, your stomach, specifically, yes.
Which is like a core of your immune system.
They're the bouncers, Mike. They're the ones to make sure no one comes and messes with you. They're there too. They don't want to leave. So the problem is, when you kill them off, what they actually found specifically is that the gut bacteria modulate how much interferon. Now, if you've ever heard of interferon, it's an antiviral that your body makes naturally. We actually have synthesized it too, and they give this to severe patients, HIV type people.
Right.
So what they found was, if you kill off those gut bacteria, it reduces how much interferon your body naturally produces. So all of a sudden, this lung issue fighting this virus doesn't even get the backup support that it's supposed to do. So that's why I try to tell people, you have no concept of how complicated and interconnected this body is.
And how badly it is trying to heal itself.
It's always trying to heal. We step in the way of it.
Yeah, we step in the way of it constantly.
That's humans constantly outthinking ourselves. So that's what was crazy to me, was they literally found that it will prolong your flu if you go and get an antibiotic and you do not have a bacterial infection. So that's what's crazy about our medicine. How many people were on a Z-Pack for the flu this year?
Yeah.
It's got to be innumerable. So that's what is... You got to be aware of what's really going on. So I always tell people, use something like echinacea. Come to Naturally You. We have things like Cataplex AC. That's vitamin A and vitamin C in combination. That's not a special flu remedy. That's what your body uses to build its immune system to fight a virus.
Right.
So that's what you got to think. You got to think about it in terms of that. I'm not sending in tanks. I'm sending in raw material so your body can build tanks.
Yeah, and I can't remember if you were in studio or if I did this story 1 week when you weren't here, but they were saying that a Z-Pack, they've looked at it, and taking one course of the Z-Pack can mess up your gut bacteria for 2 years.
Yeah, and then most people get on them 3, 4, 5 times a year.
Yeah, yeah, and that was like
3 or 4 or 5 years.
Right.
So welcome to our health that we see in our country.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the antibiotics, and plus, you know, the superbugs and other things that are rising up. I mean, a lot of doctors, and I work out sometimes with an MD, good friend of mine, and he was talking about the fact that one of his jobs, he's like at his hospital, he's somehow in charge of like the committee to study antibiotic stuff to make sure that they are not over prescribing antibiotics. So I guess they're finally kind of catching on to that.
They're not doing a great job. You go to the hospital, they're going to put you on IV drip of antibiotics immediately, every time. But the thing is, the number one way you die in a hospital acquired infections.
Yeah.
People who show up for something else get a superbug and die. So that's what's happening in your country, people.
I'm telling you, I think if something happens to me, I'd rather them take me to a body shop or something than a hospital. My whole goal in life is just stay out of the hospital. You know, God love people who are in there helping people with trauma, but I tell you what, I do not want to be spending any time in there. All right, Naturally You, 500 Highway 51 North, Jordan Townsend. Check them out, naturallyyou.fit. You need to check out their website and go to one of their Tuesday seminars. Jordan, thanks for coming in, as always.
Always a pleasure, man. Appreciate
you. All right,
you.
That's all the time we got today. See you later. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.